Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Introducing the greatest animated series you've never seen, Lightning Dogs. These canine commandos are lost on a post-apocalyptic Earth and battling the forces of the evil Glampire. It's a tribute to the cartoons and sci-fi of the 80s and 90s, and Nerdy Show is hell-bent on bringing it to life.
Blocks sold separately.
Join us as we document our quest from the moment lightning struck to every world-building session and beyond, and make our crazy dream a reality. Roll with the pack at lightningdogs.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. It contains content that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. All Nerdy Show podcasts are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Discover the many ways you can join in at nerdyshow.com. All right, we're in. Okay, we got Twitch up. This is our first ever live stream. Let's make sure it's working.
I didn't tell anybody.
All right, so who are we? We are RPG From Scratch. We are a team of people who build our own RPG and play it live for the benefit of ourselves and others.
Mostly ourselves,
yeah. Basically, it's like trying to assemble your own parachute after you've jumped out of the plane. So who you're looking at here are some of the homebrew hombres, which are the crew who makes this podcast. I'm your host, Josh. With me today is Liam.
Hey, everybody.
I got Max over here.
Hey, now.
And our soon-to-be veteran role player, Keith.
Hey.
And so what we're going to do today is start a new chapter in the campaign that we've been running for a while, where the crew of the Echoes of the Starcrypt campaign that we did on the podcast is going to start a new chapter of their lives in a new city and try to
be just, baller as hell.
Yeah, live their best lives. A bit of background, if this is your first time ever tuning into this podcast or even hearing of the system. So the system itself is very similar to a Dungeons & Dragons style. You roll a d20 to determine an outcome of a attack roll, a skill check, things like that. What's different is that we use something called momentum instead of experience, and it's the currency for all character choices. So momentum improves your skill points, and it improves your... You can spend 30 momentum to gain an attribute, take a step down a path, which is like taking a level of a class, except for you level up no matter which of these you choose. It's built this way to encourage multi-classing in a way that we haven't seen done, in a way that we'd like to see done. So in addition to that, you can spend momentum on any given d20 roll to add that many d6s to the roll. Oh, and when you fall down, you're unconscious, you're at 0 hit points, you lose 5 momentum a turn, and when you reach 0 life and 0 momentum, your character dies permanently. So momentum represents a currency for how important your character is to the story. The setting of our world is just a quick down and dirty. It is a million years in Earth's future that is now a fantasy land. Humans, that are now called the Tolden, they live among human-animal hybrids, and they don't really think of themselves as human-animal hybrids, but they've forgotten that they've helped create them millennia ago. The current state of the world is in a state of rebuilding after an extreme power vacuum. There was an empire called the Savathian Empire. They were the fish people, and they controlled the entire world as far as anyone knows. And they had slaves and huge empires and ran everything, and overnight they vanished, and nobody knows what happened to them.
An event we're calling the Doom?
The
correct?
Doom. Yeah, the Doom of the Savathians probably is the best way. And 100 years later, some of them start washing up on shore alive and completely amnesiatic. They have no idea who they were, what they're doing there. They have no connection to their past at all. They don't even know if they were the people who lived there. So they're trying to find their way in the world while the entire world is trying to establish any kind of infrastructure after this massive civilization fell. But the thing is, they're not the only one. This world is built on the graveyards of civilizations 1,000 levels deep. So there's always new stuff to find. So the game that we're playing the system is called artifacts. As the idea is that you're always finding new artifacts from specific cultures that are completely alien to your experience, but fun. We're currently starting off. The adventurers, they live now in a city called Ishraelion. It's a bay city, a harbor town. It's where our adventure begins. This town itself has been here as long as anyone can remember because it's just a good harbor to bring ships to. So it's changed hands so many times that it is effectively considered by everybody who lives there and all the other political creatures to be roughly neutral. Because no matter what happens, trade has to come through there. The boroughs and neighborhoods of this are completely mismatched in Motley. You'll find mansion walls butting up against slums and hospitals sharing stairwells with brothels because everything is just trying to keep closer to the shore to where the action is.
Also convenience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you find out that you're cured of cancer, I think you got one stop. So,
or brothel two, do I have anything?
That's true. This brings us to the party, who the adventurers are. And why don't we give quick descriptions of what your character looks like and what their abilities are before we get into the nitty-gritty of who they are. Why don't we start with you, Liam?
All right. I am playing Esmond Trod, a 45-year-old Hrod, who is a 6'7" tall alligator man who's got a, as I remember, like a dark umber scaling with teals and reds. And he wears simple plain clothes and a turban.
What's his power set?
Oh, fire, 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 fire. He likes fire. He makes fire. He sets things on fire.
Breathes fire, too, doesn't he?
Yeah, he calls it from the sky. He makes it with his hands. Sometimes it just hangs out with him.
Keith.
I am playing Nesbitt Bizzleby. He is a Gelt, has very weasel-like features, a shorter, kind of slender, but not too slender build. He is historically a scumbag. Just a scammer who has made a decent life for himself by just always trying to be on the better end of whatever deal he is trying to make.
And you don't cast magic, right? At all?
Not a bit of magic.
This is a running gag.
Yeah. He stabs things and extremely does not do magic. That's his whole scene.
And what about you, Max?
Tonight I will be playing...
Tonight?
And most nights. Detective Dr. Professor Kelton Mandergrove, the one and only, one of the greatest intellects of this or any millennium.
Oh, Kurt, isn't there now another nom de plume at the end? Isn't it Investigator Dr. Professor Mandergrove?
No, he opened detective. With the detective.
Oh, detective. Oh,
detective okay. Dr. Detective Professor Dr. Kelton Mandergrove. He is a guff, which is kind of a boar slash pig person. He's about 5'10", very brutish, but civilized, carries an axe and shield. Well armored, usually has an idea of what's going on around town. Comes from a culture that invented most of the things in the world.
Also a running gag. They did not.
That
although Squilliam Cakeshare
is canon.
Is a yeah. canon a guff.
So yeah.
And what's his power base? What is your abilities?
He is command citadel. So he is there to put his foot in the door and help everyone else out.
I thought
he was command citadel champion.
No.
Oh, okay. So, well, we can figure that out later. It probably won't come up. But one last thing I wanted to mention is that...
Oh, I am wrong. Yeah, you're right.
Easy enough. It's been 172 years since the Doom occurred with the Savathians, and we are now in year 172 of the Age of Equity, because everybody's kind of having to start from scratch. And I need somebody to take control of the calendar, which I've put out here in the middle.
Not
it. 1, 2, 3, not it.
Max, you are calendar met.
I literally, this is as far as I can move with the headphones the way. So I'm stuck in a perfect spot where I can hear out of both ears.
Oh, cool. So it is day 51 of Swordshine, which is the spring into summer season. And everybody's kind of almost halfway to, what is it, False Bags, the kind of April Fools of there. And your group now has been, you had a wacky adventure recently where you made friends, you lost some friends, you landed a bit catastrophically here in this bay city and decided to set up shop, having forged a bond of companionship.
You say catastrophically, I say with style.
You're right. It's the Buzz Lightyear strategy.
Yeah.
Now you've founded an adventure company which is like an adventure, outfitter, that kind of thing. You take odd jobs to protect people, to guide people, that kind of thing. And it's not going so great. It's been a year since you guys have set up shop. You have a young ward with you. She is a Krex, which means she's a bird person. She looks like a pigeon. She is 13 now. Her name's Stitto. And she's Stitto. Helping you do that kind of thing while you set up your business. She is kind of working as a clerk and helping out on odd and ends while you promise to help her find her parents.
And getting an education.
She is getting very an education. Important. Yes, there's a Savathian scholar who you know from your adventures who is helping with her education and tutoring her. She's difficult, but she's a good egg. No pun intended.
Liar. I think it wasn't.
Liar. You're a liar.
In addition to that, you've been trying to apply for Leyliner certification because you think it will increase business. The Leyliners are a guild of adventurers and outfitters that do these jobs, and if you get certified with them, people know to bring you a minimum of jobs your way. They feel like they can trust you. You're not just going to steal their money. But getting into there requires a vetting process that hasn't been going well for you guys because you're kind of shady. I mean, you've got a kind of rough history.
So because Nesbitt and Kelton are involved, that's what you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
It's true. You also have a lot going for you, including you helped out a Tiktani, which are the bug people. You helped out an entire chorus of them, which is their underground civilization, deal with a very touchy political issue, and they came out completely on top. And they sing your praises, no pun intended.
Wow, if you're just going to keep going the no pun intended route, you should just... Could you just at the end go, pun intended?
Yeah,
I'll give you a couple intended puns.
Okay.
One of the biggest problems dogging you guys is that there's an imperial detective who has also put down roots in the area, and his name is Bolivo, and you have a bit of a history with him, whereas he knows for sure you definitely helped this Tiktani collective. Nobody knows how shifty you are better than he does. So he's if just him meddling with you shows any trail that the Leyliner Association can kind of pick up on, it could hurt your chances, which is not great, but you don't really hate Bolivo either.
Yeah, there were a couple times that I was thinking I might have to, but at the end of the day, I totally didn't hate Bolivo.
Yeah, I was going to throw him into a pit, but I didn't.
Game? We definitely thought about you.
Game recognizes game.
Mm. Fact.
Well, he's not. He's shifty. But in a good way. He's shifty for good.
Yeah.
I'm shifty for me.
For you, yeah.
Occasionally your friends.
So where we find you in this moment is that Bolivo has you in his office. The three of you are sitting down. You have responded to an overly, almost comically polite letter to meet him in his office for questioning about a suspected arson.
Oh, who's the problematic one now, Esmond?
So, he sees you guys, and he said, by the way, Bolivo is one of our Patreon-selected characters. If you're a $10 patron, you get to create a character that we will put in our city, in our campaign. He says, thank you guys for coming. I know this is not convenient for anybody, really. I mean, especially the victim, you know, in this scenario. I hope you don't mind.
You're referring to me, right?
Oh, no. The gentleman, Mr. Let me look at my notes here. Scadron? Mr. Scadron, his farm burnt down. And he's very upset. I'm sure anybody, you know, in his place would be. So I was wondering, just there seems to be a couple, you know, problems kind of linking maybe some causal effect to this. But maybe we could, you know, you could clear a couple things up for me. So I understand that... He came to you 2 weeks ago complaining about a nosy neighbor kind of stepping on his lands. He wondered if you guys could do something about it. When I interviewed him, he said he'd spoken with you.
He said that, did he?
Well, yes. I don't expect he would lie. I mean, do you think he could have confused you for somebody else?
I find that unlikely.
So that guy is probably lying.
Oh, he is lying. You're sure?
I'm just saying.
So you don't remember? You don't remember him?
Well, we maybe talked to him, but we didn't burn down a farm.
Okay. Well, do you remember Miss Volrani? She came in the week previous. She's a Tolden lady. I'm sure you remember Tolden. By the way, listeners, is human. She came in and she was complaining about his farm. She made some accusations about some very troubling things where he was. he was raising some Brookies and making them fight in the barn, and that sound, she could hear it. She wanted to do something. She wanted you guys to do something about it because, you know, the law people like me would have a hard time getting a warrant, so why talk to me, huh?
That's bad. Legitimate Brookie fighters, they pay for their license. For this man to do it without a license, that's not good.
It's true. I know in this area we haven't handed out licenses since, you know, the Empire came in here, but... You know, yes, you're right. There is a lack of legitimacy to this whole thing. Maybe you guys can clear this up for me.
Also, by the way, Brookies are horse-sized dogs.
Yeah, with hooves.
Well, yeah. That we ride like horses. That's important information.
So, as I understand, both these people came in, they spoke to you, and there's this problem. And then as soon as, you know, he comes in, he tells you about this nosy neighbor, wants you to take care of it. She says she wants you to take care of his problem. Next thing I know, his whole barn burns down. Somebody here, not going to point fingers, uses fire a lot.
I take great exception to that.
You know,
I do not use fire, sir.
Could be talking about myself. I'm just, you know, it's just one person here. So,
this guy. In his barn. How does he light up his barn?
You know, that's a good point. I think he probably uses some kind of oil lantern.
So Brookie kicks it over, burns down barn, case closed. Once again, Detective Dr. Professor Kelton Mandelgrove, at your service.
You know, yeah, I think was one of my first, you don't mind, I take over the investigative part. I know you're a detective as well now.
Oh, it's done.
Yes, okay. So when I went to the scene, you know, all the reports said it burnt down in a manner of 2 hours, and the size of the barn, the materials, fire, you know, starting from one location doesn't really spread like that. And also, you know, our court magician did a little scan, magical fire. So you guys, you don't know anything.
So he was using magical lamps.
That definitely sounds like anybody but us.
Okay, well, I just want to kind of get you on record saying it's definitely not you. I want to cross you guys off the list if that's all right.
All right. Feel free to cross us off anytime you want.
I did not magically burn down a farm.
A farm. Very good. Okay, well, I just want to thank you guys for coming in. I know, you know.
I literally don't even know how to use magic.
Thank you. It's nice to see you again.
You as well. You as well. Now that we are colleagues,
I'm glad I never threw you in a pit.
Thank you.
Yep. I mean, don't worry too much about that. That had never even crossed any of our minds. He just says weird things sometimes.
Well, I did end up at the bottom of a pit.
Didn't we all?
All right, yeah,
yes.
But like,
yes, we all did.
Definitely didn't throw you down one, though. Didn't even want to.
Well, good. Thank you. Thank you for coming in. I think that's all I need for now. No problem. I think I'll just go over the evidence again. I'm sure I'm way off base here.
Guys, I'll catch up in a little bit, all right?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I got a thing.
He's got a thing.
Okay. He's got a thing.
He leads you out the door. You know, there's not a lot of fanfare. It's not a lot of people work in this office with him.
I stick back, though.
Okay, and he's like, well, Esmond, you got something to tell me?
Anything on Stitto's family?
No, well, not since we last spoke about it, you know, about a month ago. We put out the call. You know, it is strange that nobody's responded. Her parents are just gone, and from what we know, the Howards, the two cracks that were kidnapping kids, never touched the parents. But you know, we're keeping the R's down. We know their names. I've got people working on it. But you know, I'm here, so I have to wait for them to get back to me.
No, I feel you. No, you're a good man.
Thank you. You too, Esmond. Hey, keep. Maybe cool it for a bit, huh?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Me neither.
Good day, Bolobo.
All right, you take care. And then you guys leave. So you're out in the city streets of Israelion, which really fits you guys. You know, people are constantly selling things from everywhere. There's a big bizarre market area, but you can't walk 15 feet without somebody openly propositioning you for something on the street. But it's nice. Everybody's kind of in a good mood. It's a bustling city. It's had kind of a tumultuous history recently because it has recently gone to being governed by the Akhenoten Empire from its previous independence that it had. But as an independent entity, it was extremely corrupt. And there was a governor that was forced out, or what would he call himself? Hold on. I think I've got his name here.
Was it a viceroy?
It was a high magistrate, Ralid Guantemo.
Mm-hmm.
And that name should sound familiar because you recovered a letter
from him
previously that was written to the two Krex mercenaries that were kidnapping children.
That we killed and didn't eat.
Damn Howard.
No, definitely never got a chance to eat them, yes.
Yeah.
So what happened shortly afterwards is the Akhenotian Empire came in and did an economic takeover, promised that they could manage the affairs of trade for the region better than the local corrupt magistrate. And so far, they're correct. But it's not easy. There's a lot of problems dealing with the fact that the main business of this area was criminal. So trying to get people to go legit or putting people in jail who aren't, it's causing some problems.
It's like Salt Lake City.
Of the cities we could... Yeah, mm-hmm. Salt Lake City. That's...
I would like to turn to my compatriots.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys burn down a farm without inviting me? Because that's not cool.
Look, I didn't...
Okay, I want to step in here. You didn't.
I don't know. I'm asking these two if they did.
I know that you should know that you didn't.
Okay, thank you.
I'm glad because we didn't know that at the beginning at all.
Yeah, definitely.
We were just going
to
guess.
I'd like to see your reaction. Because also, I think your characters would not know if Esmond did it or not.
Also, had I come upon an illegal Brookie fighting ring, fuck yeah, I'd burn that shit down.
Sure.
In a second.
And Kelton, you didn't. You didn't burn it down.
Kelton would just be upset he didn't get invited. He likes that kind of stuff.
I didn't do it.
Okay.
But I'm going to do some quick math. How many fire-using magicians do you know?
Well, not fucking me.
You? Does that bird do fire?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's probably her then.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring.
You said it wasn't you.
Yeah.
And I only know two.
So we should probably go home.
Yeah, I hope she didn't burn our house down.
I mean, there's probably other possibilities. Oh,
there's 100% chance that there's someone else here who could have done it.
Yeah, but it was definitely
it's
a fucking
definitely
bird.
Stidham.
Yeah, it's
oh
your
my
fucking
god,
bird.
She keeps all the records.
She's an orphan. You know.
Yeah, they arson.
Yeah, no, just orphans and
orphans are synonymous with burning down buildings, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I've seen Firestarter. Yeah. All right.
The Prodigy song?
Yeah.
So,
twisted.
You guys remember when Smack My Bitch Up ended with it being reversed and everyone in the 90s was like, ooh,
whoa.
Progressive.
No, I don't remember that
at all. I don't remember
all.
That either.
I do.
Literally all I remember is him like, mm-hmm. Her just like blasting piss all over the place, like
ooh,
doing
I don't
a really
remember
bad
that.
Job of.
I think we're talking about two
interacting
very different
with the urinal. No. It was first person, and like it was just going through the perspective of the person that was just like going through. And when they
I
went into the
about,
bathroom, they were just
smack my bitch up. Is you'd think from the perspective of a man to a woman, but at the end of the video, it's a woman to a man, and everyone's like, ooh.
Oh.
Right, and she peed very inaccurately.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, is speaking of the smell of urine, and you're in the streets of Israelion, is there anything you want to do before you go home?
No. That's not true. I want to go have a drink.
Do we have any money?
But,
you should each have... So, you had a ton of money when the last campaign ended, but you spent it on... your business and the building and everything, and you even have a small boat that you charter out.
Cigarette boat
for people. No, these are sailing
boat.
Hell
it's
yeah.
Tiny. You have a small boat that you sometimes charter out to fishermen because you can't pay your bills if you don't make sure things like that get used. And you also rent dock time, so it's kind of to pay for its own existence.
Now I have a 13-year-old tiny bird to yell at.
You can do that. I'm going to go to the pub.
Okay, absent father, you just go right ahead.
All right, so what's Kelton doing?
Kelton, he's going to go home. He wants to see...
Oh, he wants to see a kid get yelled at.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
All right, yeah, I'll come.
Better than the pub.
You make your way through this bustling city, and you get to your building, and your building...
is on fire.
It's not on fire. It is as intact as any building in this city is.
Except for that farm.
Yes. Well, it's as one could be. How about that? So why don't I leave this part up to you guys? describe your building. Let's hear it.
I think it would be a two-story traditional. You know what you'd think of as like a Victorian business, where the business is on the bottom and then there are rooms on top where you live on top.
With an overhang.
Yeah, with a little bit of an overhang. I imagine there would be an attic. I think Stitto lives in the attic.
Oh, yeah. It fits her.
Yeah. We call it the bird's nest.
It's good. Better than the eagle's nest.
Because they're being keep. Well, she's not an eagle.
Or Hitler.
Well, I don't know. How many brookies were in the barn?
Slightly evidence of the contrary. But.
So, there were no brookies in the barn. Okay. Like they were set free, and then it was it was burnt down.
It was definitely her.
Oh my god, it's so her. Yeah.
You guys have anything special you keep in there?
We have a sign, though.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you have a sign. We have a beautiful sign. It says Bizzleby Mandergrove Trod.
Mm-hmm. Kelton, did you carve that yourself?
I did.
The only reason I say that is Max has carved me a sign. It was very nice.
Oh, very nice.
I like carving.
Does Kelton?
Yes, and he thinks he's better at it than he thinks he is.
No, I think he invented it.
No, it wasn't me. By the gaff, you know it was.
Let's say you get home. The door is shut and locked, which is unusual in the middle of a day. Normally, Stitto would be manning the counter and the door would be unlocked. A little bell, ding, when you walk in.
I unlock it.
Yeah, you unlock it. She's not at the front desk.
Hey, I got this.
And I just go up the flight of stairs into the second floor, and then to the pull-down steps that go into her room. Is the door to her room locked?
There is no lock,
but
it is jammed shut.
Okay.
You feel like maybe she tied something to it. It's not pulling open.
I'd like to make a strength check to get it open.
Sure. Let's say she's not a sailor.
No.
She's not great at knots. Let's say difficulty 12.
16.
You yank, and then it comes free. Steps come down, slam. She knows you're mad. She goes, go away!
Stitto, I'm coming up.
No, don't. There's not. I don't.
Stitto, I'm coming up.
I'm having a girl problem.
Stitto, I'm coming up.
Okay, but if you just don't look at me, I'm busy.
We're having a talk.
Well, about what? I can't. What would it be?
I'm coming up, and I come up the stairs.
Okay. Yeah, she's just sitting on her bed. Oh, she looks. By the way, she looks like a pigeon. Mm-hmm. she's about 4.5 feet tall, very slight, and she's wearing a leather vest. And leather shorts that, and just above her knee.
So, Stitto.
What? Good to see you.
Just had a conversation with Bolivo.
Oh, yeah. How's he doing?
Good.
That's good. Did he find my parents?
No. But we will talk about that, too.
Okay.
Do you remember last week when we had two sets of people come in?
No. I don't remember.
We did. You kept notes. They're filed away. And we didn't want to get involved because it seemed like a conflict of interest and kind of, honestly, a little beneath us.
Okay.
One of those people had their barn burned down.
What?
By someone who does fire magic.
Wow.
So.
There's a lot of those people in this city.
Yeah. Yeah, tons.
So, not, a lot of them not as so nice as you and
my,
me.
My question is, how long did you let the Brookies run before you set it ablaze?
She puts her head down. 30 seconds? I don't know. I was just angry. I don't.
Next time, you got to let them go longer. They could have rushed back in. You got to be careful about that. You have to make sure that you block it off afterwards. Then set it. Did you set it on fire inside?
And she kind of her expression brightens, and she kind of like sits up, and she's like little tears in her eyes. She's like, "You're not mad at me. You don't."
Oh no, a little mad because we didn't get paid.
You turned it down. You said you weren't gonna.
Yeah. Did you get paid though?
No.
Yeah.
Hey, little bird, you know that lady would have paid you.
Are you shouting up for the bar?
That lady would have paid you because you did what she wanted.
Yeah, but it's illegal to do it. I thought it would be better if nobody would know if I didn't write it down.
You could have had the lady pay you and then burn her barn, too.
Okay, don't.
He had a strong start.
I'm sorry, I didn't...
Look, I'm not angry. You destroyed property of a dirtbag who ran a fighting ring. I don't care. Don't get caught. Number one rule of this house, don't get caught.
Well, how did you find out about it?
Bolivol told me.
And she goes as pale as you can when you're covered in feathers.
I got you.
And she's like, how did he know? I don't...
They had a magic investigator go, this was magic fire. And Bolivol thought of the two things he knows about us.
Oh, that just... All right.
So I could have gotten in trouble.
Wait, he thought it was you?
Oh, yeah. 1,000%.
Oh, well.
I covered. It's good.
Okay. Well, so I can just go back to work? I don't...
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah. You were fine. Next time, though. You want to do something like that?
Yeah.
We'll make some Molotov cocktails.
What's that?
It's a mixture of alcohol, magnesium, and fire.
Okay.
And then we'll set it ablaze with that. Harder to link to us.
Oh. So, like, just skip the magic?
Sometimes that's the best option.
Okay.
How are your studies going?
You know, Obed is, he's difficult. He's, there's a lot of reading. And he doesn't like that I called him a nerd. But
I've seen that man, like, skewer people. It's hilarious.
Yeah, sometimes he just gets this weird look in his eyes, like he's thinking about something, and then somebody gets fucking murdered.
I think they're going okay. I don't like it, but, you know.
It's useful and it's important.
If you say so.
But I think it's important to broaden your educational horizons. What do you want to do with your life?
And she looks around. I think I want to work with you guys.
That's bad.
Duh!
No crocodile tears.
I mean, if my parents say it's okay.
Yeah, which is the other thing I wanted to say. Bolivol, he's been tracking down leads. He's working hard.
Okay.
He's looking for your parents.
Well, if he said it, I believe it.
But they're not where you used to live, and no one knows where they went.
And she just kind of goes quiet and looks around. She's like, yeah.
We're not giving up hope, though.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
And again, arson, next time, tell me your Nesbitt. Maybe Kelton. Maybe, actually, don't.
Yeah.
Nesbitt, you good with arson?
I mean, it's not my favorite, but...
also, she totally did it.
Yeah. No fucking kidding.
she puts her face in her hands like, oh, she hopes Bolivol is not listening.
Hey, little girl, you were in a Brookie barn. You could have made it look like the Brookies did it. Just for future reference.
Okay.
Because I asked about it, and they said you didn't do that. And I was kind of disappointed.
You asked the Brookies?
No, the Bolivol guy.
Oh.
I was like, did it look like the Brookies did it? And he's like, not even a little bit. I thought we taught you better than this.
You haven't really given me my full criminal education.
Yeah, well, your dad won't let me talk to you.
I don't think criminal is the right word. I would like to think lateral thinking is the frame that's important.
Illegal lateral thinking, right?
Legality
is not morality.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes you have to do what's right and what you feel is right, not what's the law.
Okay.
And also getting me money is fucking morality, so next time.
But also don't burn the house down. It's very important.
I'm not going to burn the house
down. I know.
Is this criminal 3 men and a baby?
Yeah, probably.
Hell yeah.
Shit.
You went the criminal route.
Can I be Ted Danson?
Yes.
Yay!
So she comes to you, and she says, well, Bolivol, do you think... Because I know Uncle Nesbitt told me not to show this to Bolivol, but... Do you think it would help? She pulls out that letter that you guys got after killing the Howards, the two kidnapping mercenaries. She pulls that out and she's like, I mean, this was meant for them. They took me from my parents. Do you think? So let's revisit the letter, actually. Let's take a second and go over what it said.
You guys think we should get more orphans?
No.
No.
No, there's a lot of work. What you wouldn't, I know you wouldn't, neither of you would know, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah, and even if I wasn't just trying to dodge work, I just don't want more fucking orphans.
I'm just thinking they'd be useful.
They're high calorie.
Look.
I mean, yeah, useful at burning down fucking barns. Okay, and
I had an uncle named Fagin, right? Us. And he used to have a bunch of orphans.
All right. You find me an orphan. It's a little stabby or a little icy.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a talk.
Now,
you could do a little stabby orphan.
No, I don't want a stabby orphan.
Think about if you just had a little stabby orphan.
I literally have
no. Now, when I think about stabby orphans, instead I think about stabby weird-ass birds that kind of make me uncomfortable.
So speaking of stabby birds, here's the letter that they received that you took. Stationery reads, "The Protectorate of Israelion, Office of the Imperial Ministry." Now, the Imperial Ministry was a lie because they were within the borders of the Akhenoten Empire, but by no means was actually an official protectorate until the Akhenoten Empire stepped in. So the Akhenoten Empire, for the listeners, is a very diverse empire of people that is trying to establish new infrastructure, but in a way that's much more cooperative than the Savathians did. So they want treaties, they want taxes that lead to actual benefits in the area. They want people to lead their own groups and rule their own lands, but kind of work towards a common goal. And so far, it's working okay. There's a lot of problems associated with the will to empire, but they haven't existed long enough to be really bad at anything yet.
Yet.
So here's
Civil Wars are really great to like.
They're currently
throw gasoline on that fire.
Yeah, I forgot to mention they're currently involved in a civil war because the right of succession is being challenged.
And have destroyed at least one town whole cloth.
Mm-hmm. So this says the Protectorate of Israelion, Office of the Imperial Ministry. Please forgive our reaching out to you in such an unorthodox manner. We are aware of the typical channels by which your clients must usually take to seek your employ. However, we do not have these luxuries, as you must already be aware. We have found ourselves in need of contractors capable of a high degree of autonomy and discretion, and your reputations precede you in both of these areas. Recently, our thriving municipality acquired a large and controversial estate through default. It possesses certain irregularities and contested artifacts that pose a problem for its eventual sale. We would like a group to inventory the estate, research the artifacts, and resolve any secondary political and personal conflicts that will prevent our fair city of either utilizing or liquidating these properties at our discretion. You and your associate would not be the only contractors entering bids on this, though your lauded skills at, quote, discreet conflict resolution, unquote, is uniquely attractive. Please send word to the port authority asking for jobs aboard the ship named the Gilrod. You will be directed to my office. Signed, High Minister Ralid Guantemo.
You know, I think it may be time to act on this.
Yeah.
We're going to steal that boat?
There's no boat.
He just said we want to work on a ship.
Yes, we're
Nesbitt. Do we have any jobs right now?
I don't know. Ask our fucking secretary.
We don't.
No, I know.
It's not my fault.
We know, honey.
She keeps doing jobs for no money.
Papa loves you.
But, yeah. Well,
I think we'd be, pardon the phrase, killing two birds with one stone.
Plus for momentum.
Just like her parents, right?
Plus for momentum.
Minus three momentum.
Take it.
Fucking shit.
All right. So this is how people earn momentum, okay. By the way. Combat, role play, and all that, and clever solutions for things.
But I think we could get a job and then kind of maybe track down what the Howards were doing the other way. Also, if they were contracted for the job and we killed them, we could probably do the job.
That is a fair point. Mm. And this is probably also in the range of solutions associated with your little progeny, huh?
I mean, again, I'm not going to say it again. She might be in earshot. But yes, it's a multi-pronged solution.
All right. This is going to be a tremendous fucking pain in the ass. Yeah, all right.
We've been resting on our laurels for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm bored and broke. Yeah, let's fucking do
this
thing.
You want to stab something?
Right. Yeah, it's
you
been a
You
want
to stab something?
I wrote a book. People liked it. But, like, it's time to do other things.
you need more adventures for the next book.
It's true. I could write another book.
Do we want to bring Bolovo on us?
No.
That is a hard no.
All right.
I don't like the law or people who, like, work for the law. Because, like, we're just trying to get along.
Yeah, we're already trying to hide shit from this dude.
Let's move to the docks, okay? So let's get you out there.
Outfit change.
Oh, are you getting into your deer killer cap?
We're stepping out.
Does Dr. Kelton, Professor Mandergrove, don a different detective outfit?
Yes.
Definitely rocking the cap.
I would also disguise yourself as, like, a mercenary, which we are anyway. We're trying to get hot. Oh, yeah, you don't fully understand this. We're not going to work on a ship.
He's in full, like, pirate outfit.
Oh, man.
What are you wearing?
We're going to, like, steal a ship.
No, we're interviewing for a job.
Oh, damn it. Okay.
Put on your nice coat.
Okay.
You know the one I like.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So Kelton's in, like, a gray jacket with, like, kind of a lavender inside silk Ooh. Lining.
All right, I'm with okay.
Yeah.
Esmond on
right,
that one.
Right, right. Yeah. It makes me feel classier to be next to him.
Yeah.
Ooh. Dude, I wouldn't picture him in cool pastels, but if he's rocking it.
Yeah. It works. Mm-hmm.
Matches his eyes. You travel out towards the docks. Now, the docks of Israelion, it's not a dock yes. out in the ocean. It is a mess of
wharfs, yeah.
web. Like, if you imagine a spider web that just reaches out into the ocean made of wood, that's what this is. It's enormous.
Tight.
But they said specifically to travel to the Port Authority, which is a building, and you know where it is.
We go there.
Okay, so you go to the Port Authority. There is a you want to get a NPC from one of our
let's have yeah
I always want to get that.
All right, so we used a couple NPCs from our Patreon last time. The next one up is from our good friend Oots.
Yeah,
no,
hey, hey.
No, oh, I'm saving oh. that one.
Oh, wait, is it Big Bad Shadow Man's then?
Oh no, this one is from Oots. Big Bad Shadow Man's is coming. Okay, so you see an Akhenotian male who stands 5'10", tall with light skin and medium-length blonde hair that he keeps oiled back. He has an almost unusually broad chest and upper body and is well-muscled, but with a normal, if slim, build for his lower body.
He got chicken legs?
Skipped leg day.
Oots, you're punishing me here. His name is Bertio. It says that on his name tag, Port Authority.
Okay.
And he's about 30 years old, and he is working... Not so much a front desk, but you see him, like, at a wall of files and scrolls, and he's pulling things out, putting them back, and he's got a list, and he's checking it off.
Is he checking it twice? Is he checking to see who's naughty or nice?
They're all naughty, so there's all no right. use.
Coal for everybody.
He turns and he says, oh, all right. He turns and he says, by the way, they get to pick the voice. Hey, how can I help you?
Hey there, buddy. We understand that, there are some opportunities aboard the Gilrod.
Oh, mama. Gilrod, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I remember the Gilrod. Hold on a sec, and he looks real nervous. Yeah, hang on just a sec.
Hanging on, Captain.
And he walks outside, and he's like, you stay here. Stay here, please. Mm-hmm. And you see him walk over to a small Krex, about 5'7". With a slight build, 75 pounds or so. Deep blue coloring with shades of green, especially on the tail feathers, with a sharp beak. And he is a...
Toucan Sam.
Well...
well...
he resembles... Think of a blue jay with green accents.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm picking that up.
And he looks over... Well, he doesn't look over Bertio or Johnny Bravo's shoulder. He looks at... He looks around him to look at you guys, kind of in the doorway. And just nods to Bertio. And Bertio kind of shrugs. And he's like, rah, rah. And then comes back and he's like, yeah, that guy has the information you want to know.
All right. Well, then, gents.
Thank you, sir.
But hey, well, let me know if you have any other questions, all right?
You're a very good clerk.
All right. Hoo-ha.
I bet that guy knows, like, karate or something.
He definitely fucks.
But I think he was nervous. Did he look nervous to you?
I think he was on a gloom smite or something. I don't know.
I deduced. We with my detective skills.
If you look out the door before you head out there, you see that the Blue Jay, he's talking to a couple other people that they look like dock workers, sailors, that kind of thing. And they look expectant. And then he turns to you and he smiles and waves you out.
All right.
Yeah, let's walk out to the...
Nesbitt, you got your packing, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, good.
All right, are you packing your fucking...
We're on a dock. I think I'm going to be okay.
I mean, kind of not, right?
Like, I'll just burn the whole place down.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like, if you're going to do something, it's going to be that. Maybe let Nesbitt handle this.
No, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, no, anything goes right. Fucking set it on fire.
Yeah, but our building is here. I like it.
None of the docks.
Yeah, but like, we're going to be the guys who burned down the Israelion docks. Reputation, man. Think about it.
Yeah, be a badass one.
See, we let him raise the bird. This is the kind of shit that happens.
Yeah, I'm wondering who's influencing who on this situation.
I have always taken the position, burn shit, ask questions later.
We're just saying it's not our fault that she's burning down barns.
No, it is totally our fault. It's awesome.
So tell me how you go about this.
I would say we stroll manfully through the door, all a business.
Yeah. Kelton taking point.
Manfully all a business is a very solid descriptor.
Okay. So you stride out manfully all a business. Who's in front, you said?
Kelton.
Kelton, mm-hmm. Okay. Just happy, looking ready to glad hand as usual?
Yeah.
When you come out, you see that he's got three other people kind of close to him. He's a Blue Jay. In front, behind him, is a Gelt that looks like a badger. And then there's a Guff. So Gelt is the mustelid people. Mm-hmm. Then there's a Guff that's a pig people. She's wearing a top hat. And then there's a Savathian looks like an electric eel behind them. Let me see your guys' tokens, right? Does that work for you guys?
Yeah.
I got yes. Kelton, Nesbitt, Esmond.
I mean, I don't think we'd be 15 feet apart.
Okay. Like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Okay. But as far as arrangement, that's definitely where we're going.
Yeah. So he waves you down, smiling real big. And this is also a character created by Oots.
Shout out to Oots for being Cal, my best bro.
And I've intentionally not practiced this voice so that you could hear me struggle with it. Because it says, Jerry Seinfeld using a pirate dialect.
Oh, no.
Is this something that Oots actually wanted or just a way that he wanted to punish you?
This is punishment.
I think this is him busting my balls. So, all right, here you go. Let's see. So I don't know
you
really what that means.
This is what a little bit.
No. Here it goes. Jerry Seinfeld. So first I got to get Seinfeld. Yeah. Then I got to figure out.
What are you doing? He's just a little up here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So yeah. He says,
What's the deal with Tard Sales?
Yeah.
Think about Everybody Loves Raymond, but up an octave.
He waves you over and he's, hey, fellas, fellow mates. Came out to me docks. Come see me.
Fucking garbage.
How's your day going?
Oh, we are doing just yeah.
It's the best.
Okay.
Did you have a stroke like 7 years ago and just never recovered?
Not I, matey.
God damn.
I love it.
I assume you get within talking range.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh yeah. Yep.
All right.
Oh yeah. Heavy talking range.
Hey, you're asking about me old meal chip the Gilrod, eh?
Yes, we want to work on it.
As a front for a job.
Oh, okay. What's the deal with wanting to work on the Gilrod, eh?
We are associates with a couple of gentlemen named Howard who were looking to subcontract some labor as they were a little busy.
You know, I suspect that about you, landlubbers. I don't this is terrible.
Perfect. Keep it going. Keep it,
yeah, okay. It going.
All right.
Keep it. By the way, this is a solid like C+. Dude. Like this is a dumb thing to ask. You're doing okay. Like you're not killing it, but yeah. Like for the love of God, you could have been doing so much worse.
I move that this guy becomes part of our party.
Oh no.
I did expect Yar to have some association with my old friends, the Howards. I'd like to introduce myself. And he pulls out a knife. My name's Howie.
Oh, hey guys, we met another boy named Howard.
Are we going to do the same thing?
Seems likely.
Great.
Hey, I ate.
We don't have a we don't have a healer, by the way.
So we better stab fast and hard.
Oh, I know.
I literally ate your brother. I don't want that to affect us. We're in our business relationship.
All right, so as soon as Howie pulls out that knife, you see that the gelt, the badger, the female guff in the top hat, and the electric eel all pull out their things, and they're ready to go. So they have a battle readiness of 10.
Oh, I'm sorry,
gents. And this is cumulative dexterity plus...
Cumulative dexterity.
D20. Mm-hmm. Thrown by...
Oof.
Goose egg, motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm a caster.
Three.
Okay. So you roll five versus 10.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
That
three.
20.
We got fucked.
No, we got 25, sorry. They got 25. Right. Okay, so do you want to go counterclockwise on this one? Because Kelton, Nesbitt, Esmond?
Yeah.
That's
sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That sounds great.
All right. So what's going to happen is their first person's going to go first, which is going to be Howie. Then Kelton's going to go. Then their next person's going to go. Then him. Their next person. Then Esmond. Let's see how this goes down. So Howie,
if it gets to my turn, I'm setting this whole place on fire.
Doesn't know any better. He runs up to Kelton and he's like,
"Good move."
What's pirate? Okay. Well. If you ate my brother, you're a scurvy dog. He goes and stabs at you. And this is a...
God damn it.
Plus five. Yeah, 21.
By the way, Oots, plus five momentum.
So, yeah, 21 to hit.
Yep, that hits.
Okay, it does 9 damage.
Ouch.
So what's your dodge, by the way?
My dodge is 12.
Okay. But you have how much armor?
5.
Oh,
yeah,
that's great. Okay,
that's good.
Oh, and now you feel a chill from that dagger. It's cold.
Ooh, shit!
All right,
and your speed is now halved until the start of his next turn.
All right,
and it's your turn.
Hey, everyone! I'm chilled. I think he's using magic. That really makes me angry, Esmond.
Yeah.
Would you like to take a shot at...
Considering that I have to fire through you, I would not recommend that to be a thing that I would do.
Okay.
He would take a negative 4.
Dang. Never mind.
You got overwhelming, though.
I got all kinds of things. Going with the classics.
Yeah, you're still a boar with an axe. There's options.
In fact, could you just charge him off the dock?
Yo.
Might be able to. Oh, you know what? Let me draw some boundaries.
Yeah, let's put some...
Yeah, you do that, Josh. I'm not good at setting boundaries. This is a big ass fucking dock.
I was about to say.
No, you're at the Port Authority.
Oh, okay.
You know,
oh,
you're okay,
right outside. Yeah, so that's the dock, and this
is. Yeah, let's say this is a board
the
wall.
Earth.
Little squiggly dock right there.
All
right.
And, yeah.
Just for flavor.
Just some happy little waves.
Just some happy little waves.
There are no mistakes when you're doing what you love.
That's not at all true.
Yeah, no.
Only they're not called mistakes, they're called crimes, and getting good at things is hiding your crimes.
Yeah.
All right, and let's say this is the building you walked out of. Burp, 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 burp. And let's put a couple barrels.
Do we know what's
in the
barrels?
How about a crate
barrels?
Or two?
You want a crate? Yeah,
a
hold
crate
on.
Yes. Give me a crate. I just want a crate.
Yeah!
Is there a red barrel conveniently placed anywhere near them?
Yeah, if you hit it, you might double your strength. Yeah,
I've been conditioned to look for red barrels around crowds.
I mean,
there are no red barrels.
That's my bag, dog.
Yeah, that'd I was about to say, head. That's where he does a localized... Yeah. Something's going to happen.
So, Kelton, what does Kelton do?
Kelton is going to raise his axe and do overwhelming strike at Howie.
All right, let's see it.
Subpar.
Does a 4 hit?
It does not.
Cool.
What's your dexterity?
My dex is 2.
Oh, man. What did you roll?
A 2.
But yeah, that really, math checks out, everybody.
It's just one pip down from a d20.
That's brutal. Okay, well, yeah, that misses.
All right, I missed with my overwhelming
turn
strength.
Miss. Female guff with the top hat. You see that she has a billhook. She uses to help moor ships. She runs up here, and she saw that...
Yes, closer, my dear.
She saw that Howie had some luck hitting this pig man. So she's going to take a swing at him as well. Does 9 hit?
A no.
All right, she misses. And up next is Nesbitt.
She move her up.
So that's she is. It's reach.
Oh, damn. That's a...
One space.
Female guff with the top hat?
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I moved the wrong person.
Okay.
That's what I meant to do.
I thought it was just like a 30-foot hook. Damn.
That's my new ska band, 30-foot hook.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah, for a ska band, yeah. Or even a funk band, 30-foot hook.
30-foot hook.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
Ska funk fusion?
No, that'd probably be awful.
It'd be a good album name for whatever replaced the Blues Travelers.
Was there a replacement for the Blues Travelers, or did we just let that
no,
stop?
No, just sadness. What does Nesbitt want to do?
I'm gonna go ahead and disengage up into our new Howard. And let's see, I'm adjacent to...
Kelton.
Yeah. Does that inherently give me the upper hand, no. or just with plunging strike?
That's just what with plunging okay. strike. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and do a plunging strike then.
Okay. And real quick, what the upper hand means for listeners is that it makes it so that if the person that you have upper hand against does an attack that doesn't include you, you get to make an opportunity attack against him. Because splitting their focus is really difficult. And Nesbitt gets some bonuses if he has the upper hand. It's like flanking with a couple different things.
I think ours is more important.
It's more dangerous,
yeah.
for sure. All right, plunging strike. Let's see it.
8 plus my modifier is just dexterity, correct?
Yeah.
So 11.
Ooh, just missed.
Ah.
It's a plunging strike. You see how he's a little spry. He gives a little hip jive, gets out of the way. And then immediately, the male gelt, who's the badger, he just has a wood axe.
But he's... No. He just has a wood axe. And is a fucking badger.
Yeah, he looks mean. He's not a nice person. So he runs to Nesbitt. I see that Liam's getting very happy for good reason.
I don't get to do this a lot.
They're all clustered up. So he runs up on Nesbitt because he sees him take a swing at Howie. And he just brings it down like he's trying to chop wood. That's going to do it. That's a natural 15 plus 4. So,
yep.
Yeah, 19. And he deals... 12 damage.
That's some beef.
We don't have a healer. We don't have a healer.
Hey, neither do they, as far as you know.
But you can siphon life from people. Wait, you don't admit it.
Don't know what you're fucking talking about.
All right, so they're clustered up, except for the electric eel that's in the rear, who has not yet had a chance to go. You got the guff with the top hat one space away. You've got Howie and the gelt badger clustered up on Nesbitt and Kelton. What does Esmond do?
I think all my stuff hurts my allies if I hit them, though.
Your at-will splash damage does not... It only affects enemies.
I'm not talking about my at-will.
Okay.
Kelton, do you want me to just, like, drop a bomb? Do you just want me to do that?
I mean, I'm cool.
So, Esmond is going to shimmy right to Hexes. And, you know what? Fuck a billhook. Rogue star.
Whoa. Now, that is a daily, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see how this daily attack
works. Let's see if I waste today. This shit.
So, first, can you describe to me what it does?
All right. So, if anyone's seen Dragon Ball Z, I'm making a spirit bomb, so it's twice the size of a basketball, of just heat and flame, and it kind of coalesces in the point where it's fire so compacted upon itself that it actually becomes physical matter.
Well, let's see it.
And I'm throwing it at the guff and the top hat.
All right.
No whammies. 12 plus 3. 15.
That hits.
Yes.
That lands right on her head. It crushes her top hat like it makes an accordion before it burns away.
Hell yeah. I mean, I wanted the top hat, but I get it.
there ain't gonna be no top
hat. Man, Kelton always looking for a top hat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we had money for a while. You could have just bought one.
I bought the coat, man.
So, 6.
That was the good move.
12.
Plus one momentum.
19
damage.
Oof. Yep.
Ouch. Okay. Let me do some math here. Okay, yeah, that hurt a lot. What is the splash damage only adjacent?
Yeah.
Okay, so it only hit her. Okay, that hurt. And let's say you start a little fire. There's some dry grass that kind of leads.
I would almost say that it would just like there'd be a minor crit, like a baseball-sized crater that just get like launching on fire.
Oh yeah, it's real hot and it's burning real hot in that space next to her, where Yay. There's some dry grass that's starting to catch.
Okay. This is going to go very poorly.
Now it is the electric eel. He sees that and he goes, "Oh no, man! Oh no!" And he moves to try to get a good line of sight, and you see him produce a rod of iron from his pap, from his cloak, and he points it at Esmond.
No whammies.
Plus three, that's natty 19. So that's a 22 to hit.
That hits.
Okay, and then it arcs from Esmond to Kelton. 12.
Hit.
Oh, okay, hit both of you. Okay, so Esmond, you take, that is 9 damage. Kelton.
What type of damage is this?
Electrical. It's okay. Just lightning. And then Kelton takes 7 damage. And that does not bypass armor, by the way.
Good.
Should make Faraday cage armor. Just
But it would be really ineffective against literally everything else.
I don't know.
It'd be chainmail.
I feel like there's a version of chainmail that could work, right?
Yeah.
All right. Round one is over. Let's count them down. Okay, we are now in round two.
We are rusty. We just walk right into this.
Yeah.
It's Howie's turn. He is going to disengage.
Yes.
Lift his hand. This will provoke an opportunity attack from Kelton. He's going to cast Ray of Frost. So, Kelton, take your opportunity attack first.
Also, who is he attacking you to?
Oh, it's going to be Kelton and Nesbitt.
Okay. You can also not so fast that, right? Do you have not so fast?
If it hits. But regardless, it provokes.
Yeah.
Not on my sheet anymore.
I think it's Citadel Step 1, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, Reggie would have caught it.
Does 10 hit?
10 does not hit.
All right. I'm rolling like shoot.
Man, I'm rolling rocks tonight.
I need 2 dice.
All right. So he rolls, and this is Ray of Frost.
Oh, heck sake.
Another natural 19. So it's probably going to be TPK. Let's see how this goes down.
Yep.
5 damage to both of you. And now it is Kelton's turn. But you are immobilized. You can't move. Dope. Until the start of his next turn.
All right.
Not that you'd want to.
Kelton, very upset now with Howie attacking his friends, is going to attack Howie with Helmet Splitter.
Okay.
And spending 4 momentum.
Okay.
4 momentum. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is 4d6 he gets to add to the result of this roll. Oh, I'm so worried about how much damage Helmet Splitter does now with the change.
19. That's just on the d20.
19 definitely hits.
Wait, why did we make it do 10. More? It already did more than every other daily, it does and it's an encounter.
It does slightly less than it does with the best weapon.
But it's averaged out more?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so it raised the damage for lower weapons.
Does a 31 hit?
Well, a 19 hit, so okay. No. Oh, boy, here we go. All right, how much damage does Howie take?
3d8 plus 1d6.
Yeah, all right, let's see it happen.
That would be 18 damage.
Ouch. Okay. Correct. Well, your daily did more. Your daily did 19. So 18 minus 2, because he's wearing some armor. Mm-hmm. Now it is the female guff with the top hat. She's not happy about any of this. She
took some blast.
Female guff with a blackened bald spot on her head, more so. She moves up to be in range of Esmond and Kelton, threatening both of them with her billhook. She takes a swing at Esmond just for basic revenge.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That plays out.
And then you have the plus 1 to dodge because you're in phalanx with me.
Ah, yeah. So, that is a 9 to hit.
Nope.
Now it is Nesbitt's turn.
Max reminded me of the phalanx advantage. I was going to disengage away to try to be further away from the cluster, but I think I want to keep that plus 1, so I'm going to stay where I am.
Phalanx, by the way, is plus 1 to dodge for anybody adjacent to a guff, which applies for Howie now.
Okay.
What?
So
he's standing next to
him. Because there's a guff standing next to Howie. I'm going to go ahead and 2 momentum, throw a helmet splitter on the Gelt there.
All right, let's see it. Oh, dear.
Again with the natural 19 plus change.
Okay.
So 30.
Yeah, 30 hits. That's your 2 momentum, not your damage. Thank goodness. Okay, let's see what it does.
My helmet splitter, since I'm using a dagger, is 2d8 1d6, 1d4.
All right.
8, 9, 10, plus 2, 12.
Is this with your wind dagger?
Plus another d4.
There we go.
That's a 4.
Yeah, 14.
14 damage.
That mattered.
Yeah, it mattered. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure. All right, and he is unarmored. He's powered by hate and rage. So
aren't we all?
Yeah, he takes 14 damage. Okay, so now it is his turn. He doesn't.
Oh, now he's mad at me, though.
He's pretty pissed. That hurt. He's got his wood axe. He is going to disengage to the side of Nesbitt. You get the feeling he's trying to work his way around you.
Mm.
And he is going to take a swing with his wood axe. Oh, natty 18.
Yep.
All right. So you take 8 damage.
Fuck, dude.
How are we doing on health, everybody?
Let's see. I am at 9.
I have taken 8 damage. Ooh.
All right. And now it's Esmond's turn.
All right.
What does Mr. Trod, the flaming alligator, do?
Top hat, again, flaming pillar.
Ooh, okay. Who is now adjacent to Howie?
Natty 1.
Oh, that is a miss.
But not a momentous failure.
No, it is not.
Nope.
It's not a critical failure. That's when you spend momentum and fail.
And that would have happened.
Yep.
Now it is the electric eel's turn. He doesn't like that he's blocked off. He can't really see real good.
You know what? I'm going to disengage them before. I know I have to.
Okay. Before he acts. Okay. He is concerned because you three seem so dangerous compared to what he expected. Because the amount of damage that you're putting out with Helmet Splitter, with the sun falling out of the sky, is ridiculous.
It's a tiny sun.
He's going to try to block Esmond's view of him with the bodies of Howie and the Guff with a top hat, but still staying in view of Kelton and Nesbitt, and he's going to attack both of them again with his lightning bolt. White is Kelton, black is Nesbitt. Ooh, hits both.
Dude, have you rolled under a 10?
Nope.
Have you rolled under a 14?
No. Nope.
Jesus.
Okay.
And a string of 19.
Here comes my death again.
Maybe. So Kelton takes 7 damage.
Ouch.
Bypassing 2 armor.
Ooh.
Oof.
Because he's using a staff, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not a rod, but that's...
Oh. Dead.
Nesbitt falls unconscious.
Yep.
So what's happening now, Nesbitt took damage over his HP total. He falls down unconscious, but his HP is at 0. At the beginning of his turn every round, he loses 5 momentum. If he loses all of the momentum, he dies. But there are ways to keep him alive. You guys can make heal checks. You can do that kind of thing to stabilize him, and he'll stop losing momentum. Alternatively, maybe... Oh, health potions. You guys would have those, right? I know you don't have them, I'm saying, but generally, do you think you'd carry a health potion?
Do we know an alchemist?
I mean, in the city.
We've been here for a year.
We'd have a guy. We'd have, like, a bodega we'd go to.
Maybe.
I don't think they're sold in bodegas. Like, I thought they were... Like, the best way I always thought in game to get potions was to have an alchemist, that they were something that even buying...
No, you buy
them. In this, like, city, you'd be able to. But if you're out in the boonies, they'd be like, no, what are you fucking crazy? Yeah.
So I want to preface this. I would normally not give you guys an out, or these listeners, I would normally not give you guys an out, except for that we completely restructured our game since we last played, and they have 0 equipment except for what they last remember.
Mm-hmm. And we have 2 less party members than we're used to playing with. That's in right. This...
So, I will say that you have 1d4 of health potions, and I'll roll to see who has them.
Okay.
All right.
Wait, someone would carry all of our health potions?
We're going to do each.
I was going to say.
So, you have 2 health potions. We'll do 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
4 reroll.
Esmond has 1.
That makes no sense, but fine.
Esmond has both.
That makes no sense.
Well, if you wouldn't carry him, you don't have to. I'm not going to play your character for
him. No, I'm saying, like, I'm just saying, like, the idea that I would be the one, like, if we were outfitted, the fact that I would carry 2 health potions is crazy.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like Kelton would walk out the door without anything. Maybe, like, you'd be like, all right, let me put these in the bag.
Well, regardless.
Do we know how strong they are?
Let's say they're D6s.
Okay.
And then you add the recipient's
endurance
to the result. Okay, so up next... Round 3 begins, and it's Howie's turn. He scoffs, watching the Gelt, Nesbitt, Weasel Man go down, and he's like, hey, you. Oh, that's not how he sounds. He says,
you got way into another character.
He's like, oh, you went into Davy Jones' locker. And takes a
God
swing.
Damn it.
Takes a swing at Kelton. Whoa, I'm rolling rocks tonight. 17.
Jesus Christ.
He switched dice, too, so it's not.
I did, yeah.
It's just that hand.
I shouldn't have. okay, yeah. 17 hits, and you take 8 damage from the dagger, and you're slowed. You're half speed again. And now the new round began.
What?
The fire grows.
It's just very hot.
Fire.
The fire spreads.
Okay.
It's extremely hot. You dropped a star on the ground. Well, you dropped it on her, but it's pieces of it hit the ground. So it grows by 1. Now it is Kelton's turn.
What are you doing there, Max?
Still trying to get rid of Howie. In that case, Kelton is going to say, Esmond, take the shot.
Natty 19.
That is a hit. Who are you attacking?
I am attacking the top hat Gelf.
Okay. The Guff.
The Guff.
Yeah, she's having a bad day.
So she takes 14 damage.
Okay.
Whoa.
Holy smokes.
And
then at will.
He takes 4.
Ouch. Okay.
Does she take any damage from standing in the inferno?
No.
She would have the next turn.
When her turn begins, she will.
She's still up?
Yeah.
Damn.
She's a tough lady.
Shit.
So, she's going to be... I don't know if she'll be a shiny beacon of whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger after this, but... She's pretty tough right now.
I'm also going to shift back 1 again.
Disengage. Okay, and now it is the female Guff with the top hat's turn.
Mm-hmm.
She takes a D6 of fire damage for standing in flames. She takes 5 damage. Now she's looking real rough. She's teetering. She steps out of the fire, provoking from Kelton as she walks by to try to get in range of Esmond.
12? Does 12 hit her?
12 hits.
Yes!
Killer.
We didn't hope so.
Make this shit happen.
He could roll a 1.
He did. He did roll a 1.
It wouldn't have been a 1 if it didn't bounce off my paper. So a 2? 2 damage to her.
2 is exactly the health she had left. She goes down. Boom. Bill Hook falls down. You hear people scream on the docks. People are starting to scurry. They see the fire. They're starting to panic. Things are getting bad. Somebody blows a horn that sounds very official, as in like... because fights break out on these docks pretty often, you'd imagine. And fire is the ultimate no-no.
Can I say to the eel?
Sorry.
Hey, eel man, how much are they paying you for all of this?
He goes, I don't really get paid for this part. What? Why am I talking to you?
I like
Nesbitt's turn.
This
is not conversation territory.
Death save.
You add your endurance. If it gets 20, you just stop losing momentum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nope.
I do not do that.
You lose 5 momentum.
All right.
Up next is Nesbitt went, and now it is the male Gelt, the badger with the wood axe, feeling pretty victorious. Over the body of Nesbitt, he walks forward to get the upper hand against Kelton, flanking him with Howie.
Does that provide opportunity attack?
No, because he can go through Nesbitt without an issue, because Nesbitt's down. And he takes a swing at Kelton. Chop him down. 13 to hit.
That hits. 12.
All right, it does 12 damage to you.
Damn it.
This is rough.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the docks, by the way, falling into absolute chaos. People are getting buckets out of stuff, getting ready to stop this fire.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
All right, Burning Lance. Can I hit Howie without the -4?
You can move to hit Howie.
All right, I'll move to hit Howie.
Also, just a reminder, like, you're the only one with healing potions. And
yes.
So.
If I step in there in my caster state...
Yeah.
Literally
no,
one round, Nesbitt.
Yeah.
I will immediately fall.
He has very low health.
Anyway, 16.
16 to hit?
Yeah.
Definitely hits.
Okay. 1d10 plus a d6. Not that great. 7.
Okie doke. The electric eel ends the round, so let's have him. He doesn't really want to get close to the fire, so he's going to try to get around. He can't really move far enough to be able to get Esmond without going into the fire, so he's going to take a shot at Kelton. That's a natural
crit?
20, and it does max damage. It does 12 damage to Kelton.
Does that ignore
ignoring
armor?
Two armor. You still up?
Yep.
All right. Round four begins, and you see that the docks are mayhem. People are moving off of boats. They're coming around. The fire now is creeping up on Howie. He's going to have to do something about it on his turn. It is spreading all around, and it started to affect the docks. And you see that there is a big group of guardsmen led by a giant shark man moving toward the group of you very fast. And it's Howie's turn. So Howie, he's going to invoke from Kelton to get out of there because he wants to be far enough because it's spreading faster and faster. He's going to, I think he would just come straight out, right? Yeah, he would come straight out.
I don't think he would come in between me and fire.
No, he wouldn't. And then he comes straight out, lining up Kelton with him and Nesbitt. So this is going to hit Nesbitt as well.
But he invokes, right?
He invokes from Kelton.
12 to hit.
12 hits.
All right. 3 plus 1 is 4 points of damage.
2 points of damage because of his armor. He doesn't like it, but he's going to use Ray of Frost to try to hit the two of you. Yeah, 16 natural.
God.
So 3. He's damn. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm rolling like crazy tonight. A D8 plus 4, so 7 damage to the two of you. You take the damage as momentum loss.
Okay.
Or sorry, this is, you don't lose momentum. I'm sorry. That's a rule we changed as well.
Yeah.
It's death score. You gain death score. You keep your momentum, but when your death score equals your momentum total, you die. Sorry, everybody. I forgot that's a change we made. It's written down somewhere, I promise. Howie went. He attacked the both of you. It hit. It immobilizes Nesbitt, but he's already down. So Kelton's now no longer slowed. He's no longer moving at half speed. And you see that the...
Yeah, he is. He just got hit, right?
The dagger stabbing you slows you.
Oh, okay.
The Ray of Frost only immobilizes the first target it hits. And you see that the group of guards is getting closer. And then the dock workers, they're up close now to you where these... Where these guys are, and they're just dumping water, trying to stop the docks from burning. But it's almost like where you drop that rogue star is like hot magnesium, or what's the stuff you put up? Phosphorus that you would put on a tank to just keep it burning. Yeah, that's what's happening there. So next...
Can we yell out, help, we are legitimate businessmen being attacked by brigands.
Absolutely, you can yell that out. Yeah.
I would absolutely be yelling that if I wasn't like extremely hecked.
Female guff in the top hat's turn, but she's down, and she's now burning to death. Nesbitt's turn, you gain 5 death score, but let's see if you keep...
Oh, yeah. So yeah, it's if your endurance plus your d20 is over 20, then you stop.
It's 20 or higher,
okay.
Yeah. Nope.
Still no.
Okay,
you could spend momentum on that, by the way.
Oh yeah, you can spend momentum on the death score. Well, then what happens if you fail? Do you just die?
If you spend that much
momentum. No, I just think it's another mechanic
momentum.
It's to lower your momentum.
Yeah, okay. So let's go. Male Gelt the Badger. He is behind Nesbitt and Kelton. He's going to just take another swing at Kelton with his wood axe. He's getting some mileage out of this axe. Ooh, okay. Yeah, he misses. He rolled a natural 7. Well, actually, hold on. No, 11 doesn't hit.
Nope.
Okay. Then it is Esmond's turn.
All right. How's Howie looking?
Howie looks worse than... He's lost more than half of his HP.
So he's like a caster with 40 HP?
Yeah.
Christ.
He's rough. He's a bad dude.
This is a shitty fight, man. We just walked into
something. Every Howard is rough stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just that. Ugh.
Mm-hmm. Howard is our game's version of the badasses from Borderlands.
Well, I mean, might as well just take a pot shot at the Gelt. 14 plus 7.
14 plus 7. That definitely hits.
13 damage.
Ouch. No, that's not right. Hold on. I'm terrible at math tonight. I'm so fried from setting all this up. Okay.
Yeah, well, it made up for rolling. You don't have to be good at math when you roll 19.
That's true. Okay, and now it's the Electric Eel's turn. He sees that the fire is spreading fast. All this is happening. The guard's coming. He leaves. He just runs at full speed. He's trying to get out of there. He's not about to be caught up in whatever the fallout of this is. Then we begin round 5. It is Howie's turn.
Did I get skipped on the last round? Because Howie went. I don't remember me going.
You had Esmond take
the
shot.
Howie went. I went, and then Howie went? Because he shot the ice beam after I went. If he goes before me, how did that happen without me being skipped?
I think you skipped him.
I think I did. Yeah, because I probably counted it with your opportunity attack. That's right. So why don't you go ahead and sneak one in at the end of round 4, or sneak a turn in?
All right. That would have been before Howie moved, but let me take...
No, he goes before you.
Okay, so he goes before me. Let's have Esmond take the shot, I think.
On the gelt?
The gelt or Howie, do you
think? I take a negative four if I shoot at Howie.
Yeah, let's take it. Shoot at the gelt. Take the shot. You get plus one, do it.
All right, 6 plus 8, so 14.
Hit.
Right.
10 damage.
He drops.
Good. Yay!
And the fire is spreading.
Boo.
So beginning of...
I don't care.
Of course you don't care.
This is my element.
It's going to be on Esmond's space. So Esmond will, if he doesn't, he'll take damage, but probably not because he is a fire.
Is it a D6?
Yes.
I cannot take damage.
All right. Now, it is Howie's turn. He sees the guards coming and he's like, ah. It's like... I forgot he doesn't sound like that. He doesn't sound like the other Howard.
No.
Oh, well, all hands off deck. Time for this rat to leave the ship.
And he takes off. And you see that a couple guards...
I would like to take a pop... He can only move six... Is he moving six squares?
He's going
to
move 12.
He's going to move 12?
Because, right. Yeah, six and six for... He's going
to
double move.
I would like to move six and then try and... I have range of 10. I want to try and tag him one more time.
On your turn. It's not your turn.
Yeah, but it's... You're right.
You see that a couple of the guards peel off and start taking after him, too. Kelton's turn. Kelton, you take a D6 of fire damage. 5.
All right.
Yeah, which is exactly your armor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, if you remain in there, it becomes 2D6.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I'm going to spend a momentum just in case.
What are you going to do?
I am going to do hazing charge to pick up my buddy on the ground and run out of the fire.
Oh, okay.
You don't have to hit with it then.
Okay.
You can just pick him up.
I'm just going to pick up my buddy.
Yay.
On the ground.
And the guilt's done.
Nesbitt Bizzleby, and just run my speed 6 spaces away from the fire.
All right, you get free. You take off. There you go.
Thus not leaving us 2 mammals in the fire.
Okay, and then it's going to default go to...
way more flammable than...
Rather than doing that...
Oh, sorry. Make a roll, Nesbitt.
Rather than doing that, I'm going to go to Nesbitt and give him a potion.
Okay. No dice. He needs it.
Yeah, I know.
All right, so he gains 5 death score, and I assume you have no trouble meeting up to him.
No.
Here's the problem. For you to reach him, you guys have to slow down. The guards arrive.
Okay.
And you see that leading them is a large tiger shark man. It's a D6 potion plus Nesbitt's endurance. Go ahead and roll. See how much health you get back. You heal from 0.
4.
4 health. Okay. So you wake up. You're not in combat, but there's an 8-foot tall tiger shark man leading a legion of guards.
8 foot? Jesus Christ.
That's what it says. That's this is a Patreon shark. Created character. This Big Bad Shadow Man made this
one. You know
what?
Big Bad Shadow Man, I hate to say this, no one over 7 foot tall, unless they're just a giraffe person. Like, unless they're all neck or ostrich. Like, they have to be. You can't make a meaty fucker 8 feet tall and then expect them to exist.
Maybe he's wearing platforms. So
it's not Gene fucking Simmons.
Shaq's pretty big.
He is big. He's not 8 foot tall. No. So 8 foot tall tiger shark man, scars running up and down his arms, and he has got a big bite scar on his right shoulder. And you would know him as the captain of the guard. His name is Rogar the Scar Maker.
Sweet.
Sweet. Is he a street shark?
All right, big bad shark man. That all's forgiven for that.
Yeah, voiced by Keith David.
God damn it.
Hell yeah.
Perfect.
Naturally.
Oh, you mean Vice President of the United States of America, yeah. Keith David?
He'll always be They Live to me.
Oh, no. Yeah. And the thing. Seriously,
play Saints Row 4, you will change your opinion.
No, it's great.
All right, so he walks up to you and he's like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, we came to apply for a legitimate job.
You're under arrest.
If you kept scum off the wharf, we wouldn't have to do it for you.
Well, consider this part of it. They clap you in irons.
Okay.
Or they move to, if you intend to resist.
You have a healer?
I
we got attacked by brigands, and we're very messed up.
He's like, yeah, we'll keep you alive.
Thank you.
Can't promise you won't come out with no scars, though.
Ow! Oh, because you're the scar maker.
Ow! Not in this case. Yeah. So they clap you in irons. You guys are pretty effed up. Well, except for Esmond, he's fine. Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Yeah, I was about to say unusual. Like,
yeah.
the caster in the back is supposed to be fine all the time, but this is the first time that that's actually been the case. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first time that I've been, like, on my fucking ass.
No.
That is common.
Yeah. Waited a little too long to use lifesteal, I think.
Yeah.
I didn't leave you in the fire.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's actually kind of uncharacteristically good.
Growth, man. We've been together for a year.
All right. All of you, plus four momentum.
All right.
Completing the fight. Kelton, plus one for picking up Nesbitt.
Yeah.
That was good. Smart, clever stuff.
Minus one, because I set a fire. What was that, four?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, you did save our lives, because without the fire, there would have been no guards.
That there is been true.
No running away for Eel Man with his
we just would have gotten fucking murdered.
Electric shotgun.
So, they take you to the jail.
Uh-huh.
A crazy practitioner of Radiance comes up to you, and I don't have an interaction plan with this person, so I'm not going to use up somebody's Patreon character. Comes by, heals you. Takes care of you.
Could
Could you voice them by Neil Patrick Harris, please?
I don't.
Doogie Howser?
I do.
He's just so generic. I don't. He's just so Hollywood. Yeah. Like, okay.
Really good. He is theatric, yes.
Well, maybe somebody soon, but I don't really care about this character, so I'm not really talking. He heals you. unless you have something you need to say to him. If no. That's going by. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah.
You're welcome. And then he fucks off. You're sitting there for a while in the jail cell, and you know that generally they're going to keep you overnight.
Yeah, that's fine.
And usually they'll try to have you meet with some kind of legislator, not like a politician, but somebody who will decide what the next step is. An arbiter, yeah, at the beginning of the next day, and that happens, and they tell you...
Before the night comes...
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that we maybe know a couple of prison guards by this point.
Yes.
Hey, is there any way I could get word to my ward that I'm not coming home tonight?
Let's just say a guy goes to you and he says, yeah, no problem. I think somebody already took care of that.
Thank you.
It's wait, like,
who already took care of that?
Bolivo, obviously.
He says, I don't know. I went and asked and they said, somebody had already been to the house and took care of him.
Good. Can we roll to see if they're a fan of my book?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's give you, let's say
50-50 on anything, right? Right?
50-50?
I don't know.
How popular is the book?
I think it's popular for the community that reads that kind of thing, right?
Well, what percentage of the population is that community?
Actually, let's do this. I'll say 30% chance.
Okay.
He's a part of that community, and then you beat his composure to see if he likes it. All right? He is. He's a member of that community. All right. And his composure will give him a composure score of his guard 2.
All right.
All right. So 12.
That's a 16.
He likes it.
He loves it. Big fan of your book. He's trying. He's nervous talking to you. He's trying not to let on that he's a fan. Clearly starstruck. You're totally used to that, though.
See, like, you can see that we were there on a legitimate investigation. Attacked by brigands.
He goes, oh, I trust you completely. I'm sure that everything will be fully worked out, mister.
I appreciate it,
Mr. Dr. Professor Detective.
Yeah,
author.
If you want like an autographed copy or something,
you would do that for
come
me.
By the store. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's office. I will
it's
come.
It's an office. It's office. Not a store.
But you sell books there.
We sell justice and books.
Plus one.
Gotta give it up when it's fucking dude. That's good.
Okay. So unless anything else happens, you guys get released in the morning. You talk to the arbiter, and he's like, there's no charges yet. It's complicated. Go home. You'll get a summons. Let's say a week passes. Mark that on the calendar.
So this would be a day and a week.
Yes. So 8 days pass. How about that? 8 days pass, and you do get a very official-looking letter from the Department of Justice and the governor's office.
Yeah.
And you know that the new governor replacing Raled Guantemo is a lady who's been installed there by the Akhenoten Empire by the name of Dalnet.
Mm-hmm.
It says that they want you to report to her office.
Nesbitt, bring the letter.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Also, do you have any blackmail on her?
Shit, I'm trying to think.
Let's think about that.
If I, gotta...
I think is collecting blackmail kind of a thing that you guys do?
I think we would do it on the side. Like, any information that we get that could possibly be useful, we would slot it. Like, if we're investigating something and we're like, well, that seems fucking fishy,
slot it away. That's been involved in scuzzy shit for a while.
We're not actively pursuing blackmail situations.
Right.
We are people who collect information because we know it is the best in the best interest of the business that we're in.
Okay. All right, so I don't have anything in my pocket as far as like how a conversation would go, but like, can I just roll to see if
let's do this.
Have any leverage?
I need to invent something wrong with her. 8 days have passed. You got a letter. You expected to get it from the administration at some point about the incident that happened at the docks that went very poorly for everybody.
Everybody?
Everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
I did okay. Thank you.
Oh.
You still got arrested.
Yeah, you had to spend the night in jail.
Look, that's...
And you may be charged a massive fine or spend more time in prison.
That's low tier.
Yeah, okay. And you're probably the most arrested out of all of us. You're the one who started the fucking fire.
So I'm okay.
Yeah, nobody else started the fire.
It was always burning since the world's been turning.
Kelton was a legitimate investigator with every reason to be there.
So, you get this letter from the governor. It says it's a summons from Delnett herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to speak to you directly about what happened.
Yes.
At the docks. Kelton, is your coat okay?
I think there's probably like a stab into it, but he would have taken care of that.
Okay.
I want to put on my nice robes.
Okay. Describe them to us.
They're not significantly better, but this is like I'm saying I usually wear like maybe a loose cotton fitting thing. This is a slightly better linen, a little color to it. I'm thinking teal to make my my umber pop.
Oh, I like it. How about Nesbitt? I think Nesbitt knows how to run the schmoozing game better than
you would have like a fucking suit
I definitely
ready.
Have like a fully tiered wardrobe ready for any given situation. Yeah, I'm running a solid 7.5 out of 10 right now.
Oh, good.
Because nice. you don't want to oversell it. This is not a dinner party.
No. This is definitely not a tuxedo, but this is a half step below power suit.
I like it.
Also has a pocket square.
As soon as we have enough money, I will dress in silks all of the time and burn them all the time.
Now you got the summons. You're all dressed up.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get there?
Splurge for a carriage?
This is an event.
We want to look innocent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what's the million years in the future Uber?
I think it's maybe there's a carriage service that circles the town and you
Brookie rickshaws
at your mailbox, put a white flag out there and they'll knock on your door knowing that you want carriage somewhere.
You definitely have to be in the bougie side of town to be able to just put a flag up on your mailbox and get picked up.
I don't think there is a bougie side of town in Australion. It's everybody lives among everybody else. Yeah. Like, all the right. Richest person could live in a slum, but their house has guards outside of it.
Okay, all right.
It's like peak Bangkok, you know, or like St. Augustine, really.
Yeah.
So you splurge for this carriage. What pulls up is a small Tolden lady.
On a dillo?
She's riding a dillo, which is a large armadillo. And it is tied to this thing like a rickshaw that you guys ride in.
I'm excited. Okay.
Suspended carriage on
I'm
a rickshaw.
I'm so happy.
So you take the long ride to the mansion. I'm assuming waving your silk handkerchiefs out the window at the passersby, letting them know you're better than them.
Shaking hands with fans of my books.
Yeah, absolutely. You
know, it's open tap.
Dispensing largesse.
Just breathing fire into the air, just randomly.
It's a parade.
Shaking hands with fans of my murders.
All the people that paid you to murder people.
Yeah.
Those were killings. It's different.
You get to the governor's manse, which it used to be a very lavish, overbuilt place where the previous super corrupt governor lived. And you see that it's being dismantled. They're taking down towers and there's like, this is a big area. It's going to be used for a barracks now.
And the upkeep just doesn't make sense.
Right. And you notice that the dillo driver doesn't really even slow down. She knows that this is not where the governor stays anymore. And she takes you down to the other side of the docks. Now, remember, this is a bay. And on each capstone where the water meets the mountain that this place borders, there is an outcropping of a tower that was built into the water to watch over everything that happens and to act as defense. She takes you to the one on the west side, and that's where the governor is staying.
Ahoy.
You go up the stairs, you go in there, there's lines of guards, lots of people with papers shuffling about, looks very official. You ask for the governor, and a clerk says, right away, you have an appointment, you have a letter? Okay, yes, come on in. Takes you upstairs, and you hear an argument, very loud, and you hear Rogar, the scar maker, you get the hell out of here, and you see, as you round the corner, him throw a very well-dressed Eshwin man in his mid-50s, throw him out the door of the governor's office. But he's the guy being thrown out the door, smirking, looks very self-satisfied, and lands on the floor and says, "Oh, no problem. I'll take my leave. Please, if you need anything, come see me." And he walks past the group of you and says, "She's in a good mood.
Thanks for priming the pump."
Yeah. Good. So am I.
And you see a lady in her early 40s in crisp military dress uniform. She's a Tolden. She has a red face. She looks very upset. And she sees the three of you walking in.
"I heard she was in a good mood."
She is very clearly not. And she sees the three of you walking in. "Rogar, leave us, please." And he goes, "Ugh, fine." Walks past you guys, sneers at you as he walks by.
"Right back at you, buddy."
And you get the sense that he like paused a little bit for a second, and then he's like, "Fuck it," like, and just keeps walking.
"No, that was a compliment. You're killing it."
He doesn't like those. So,
all right.
You just keep on walking, buddy.
Playing with fire here.
"No, that's me."
"Look, I know I'm going to get my ass beat by this guy eventually. Like, it's..."
"I'm going to set him on fire."
So when you get in there, she says, you three are Esmond Mandegrove Trot?"
"Yes, ma'am."
"Not in that order, but yes."
"Have a seat. Sorry, there was a very upsetting man."
If you need to take a moment to compose yourself, that would be more than allowed.
Please,
we understand.
Please,
we've met a lot of upsetting men.
I am one.
He is
that
one.
That is oddly self-aware, but yes.
Kelton takes a seat.
Okay. I assume the rest of you do?
Trot stands because most chairs are not great for him.
Well, I assume that Rogar occasionally sits down in this room.
Does he have a big old tail?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Like, I'll take his oddly shaped director chair looking thing.
Nesbitt sat slightly later than he should have, but not so late that it becomes a thing.
This is a power play. Subtle. Yeah. Like it. Yes, well, we have a problem. What happened there on the docks? That was quite a spectacle, three of you.
The four of them, I believe you mean.
Yes, I do mean them in many respects, but I would like to hear it from you. What happened?
There's a preface to this story.
I assumed...
So there once were two, there was a goose and a duck.
You see her sigh, like, this is, okay, mm-hmm. This is a children's story about to begin.
They were both named Howard, and they kidnapped children.
Did they use a gingerbread house?
No, mostly violence.
Yeah, what they did use was a gentleman who used to hold your title.
I suspected something similar. Do you have any proof of this?
Nesbitt, the letter, please.
I got this little piece of paper.
Very well. So she takes it, she reads through it, and she's like, kidnapping children, you said?
Yeah, which is why we were involved in that scuffle on the wharf. You see, I have a little girl I'm taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents are missing. I'm trying to find them. This was the best lead we had.
So she's connected to these...
She's connected to the Howards. This was a Howard connection. That's what we were working our way through.
Why were you fighting these gentlemen on the docks?
Well, they were not happy that their former accomplices, friends, associates, we killed them, and they knew it.
So there is a connection between those men, the Howards, as you call them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the former High Magistrate, Governor, Viscount, whatever.
Correct.
Yeah, the one said he was a Howard.
He said it was a Howie.
Howie. It's kind of like a Howard.
It's worse.
Six of one,
better.
Half a dozen of the other.
Yeah, I know. I don't...
We are an investigative company.
Yes.
And I was investigating to find the parents of our poor lost orphan.
Well, it's a solid enough connection for me. I'm fine with that. You see, gentlemen, I am in the unenviable position of moving into a position that has no backup. We've got a problem, a city full of criminals, a city full of riddles and dangers, and everyone discounts my authority because the army isn't here. You would normally be in a lot of trouble for what has gone down. I feel like that is not surprising to you.
We're used to this, yes.
I am normally in a lot of trouble, yeah, I'll grant you.
I am technically like a potentate. Do I have like a diplomatic immunity situation? I am the heir of my clan.
She sets down the note and says, absolutely not.
Okay, you know, just throwing it out there.
Mm, yes. I understand that the three of you are applying for Leyliner certification. Is that correct?
This is correct, yes.
I don't think we've made a secret of that, yes.
Mm. Do you think that spectacle on the docks would bode well for that?
No and yes, based on the reputation of the Leyliners.
And also the lack of reputation of the people who pulled steel on us to begin with.
Are you accepting new clients?
Always.
Oh, absolutely.
I, like the magistrate that preceded me, do have a need for discretion.
I hope by, like the magistrate that preceded you, you just mean the need for discretion and not the particulars.
Also, we're going to have to talk about discretion. I light things on fire.
My concern is not that the job you're doing be secret, but that I hired you to do it.
Oh, done. Solid. Oh, yeah.
Yep. Sounds great.
I won't tell my tiny bird to write it down.
What I gather is there's a system that you need broken.
There are many things I need done, and I can't be seen being the one doing them, because I can call on the city guard to deal with some of these problems, but the problem is they will see that as the Akhenotian Empire moving in to remove people's freedoms.
May I suggest that you let us do it, and then you won't be seen doing it.
I like the way he thinks.
What, you mean taking credit for something after someone has subtly pointed it out?
So long as I don't get credit for it.
Great. But the arson isn't a problem, right?
Well, it is a problem. Yes. In the way that any action that causes destruction is a problem.
Again, I feel like we're at an impasse on that.
Scale of problems is what she's trying to say.
Okay, no, fine.
Let me lay these out as I understand them. Feel free to reject any of these, but it may make it difficult for me to put in a recommendation for the Leyliners.
We'll let you finish your thought first, and then we'll have our comments after.
As you probably know, the skimmer City of Seer has arrived off the coast of Israelion. And for the listeners, skimmers are a religion that treats bodies of water as
gods.
As gods that they live upon and travel across. They have a capital city that is a bunch of boats lashed together. It's a floating city of Seer, but it also has buildings built on the lashings and using boats as part of that. It is about 2 miles off the coast of Israelion right now. And you hadn't heard much about interactions, but you know it's there. And she says, the trade coming in and going out of the city, my primary function, the main reason I was brought here because of my gifted organization, is being threatened by this. They are harassing merchant ships when they go out, and they are coming into town and trying to undercut the established businesses that we have vetted to handle these things without smuggling. Also, they say they're not leaving until they recover some artifact that was stolen when a ship sank in this harbor. Now, I don't know what the artifact is. Apparently, it is of religious importance, but this is a problem for many reasons. One, they don't get to lay claim to everything in our harbor, because they could just say an artifact is down there and then pick up whatever they want. Two, it doesn't even mean that the artifact is ours if we find it there, because we don't know when it was lost, and if it's a powerful item that could be used to broker some kind of treaty with the neighboring village, we want that leverage. But they are treating this as any impedance to them exercising their right to be here or take what they want from the bottom of our harbor as some kind of religious oppression. It's problem number one. Problem number two. That creature you saw being thrown out is an ambassador for the Larsa. And for the listeners, the Larsa are a group of primarily Eshwin, so bat people, that worship the moons of Erd, the world of Erd, and they...
Tight.
They are kind of a knight's hospitalier, but religious fanatics, very militarized, and they have had their eyes on this port city for a long time for a reason that is purely strategic. She says, that man there has been trying to undermine my command. We know that the Larsa are jealous that the people brokered a deal with the Akhenotian Empire to remove the corrupt official rather than the Larsans who have been offering, because frankly, the Larsans scare them. But I have no doubt that this man is operating on a network of spies, and I want to know who is not loyal to me, and what the status of the Larson military is in relation to the city.
All right.
Problem number three.
Is this the big one?
Well, I don't know which is the big one. The subject of your letter.
It's the big one.
The estate that defaulted is still a problem. The previous magistrate, he sent an appraiser in there. The appraiser did not return. He said the town guard, they did not return. When I took over, I walled it off. Nobody's allowed in or out. Well, the problem is, this is a, much like whatever's at the bottom of the harbor, it could be very important for the city, because the Tivum estate itself has a strange history. They were investors that always seemed to be 3 years ahead of the curve, reliably so. They left no heirs, and the Lady Tivum went mad before her eventual death. There were always strange rumors about this house. People would show up that nobody saw them enter the city, and then they would leave, and so nobody saw them leave the city. But also, they were people that nobody had seen before, and they were treated as family friends and guests. The problem is, there's obviously a haunted house rumor, some kind of monster, that kind of thing. It's all just hogwash, but I want to know what's going on in that house, and whatever gave them an advantage, if it does exist, we need it.
All right.
Those are your three problems. I can compensate you for doing them. I cannot be attached to this. I need to be able to operate as though I have no knowledge of your actions.
We're going to talk price.
Very well. I'm not prepared to discuss price.
Then
that makes sense.
Okay. I don't...
So who's going to be our communication? I hope it is that large, swarthy fella. He seems like he really likes me.
No, I have a treasurer who's in charge of these kind of things. I know that I have a budget to deal with one of these at a time.
Okay.
He will discuss price with you, but you will be compensated.
I need to bring this up about the tracing. If we get off on the thing we just did with a slap in the wrist, that's not great.
Well, nobody except for the Rogar and his guardsmen, who I am been assured are very close to me, given that they all came with me from Akhenoshan, can identify you. It was mayhem. Most people were focused on the fire.
All right.
Good enough for me.
There is a prison guard.
Yes? Does he know?
He knew me. You know, I'm quite famous.
He's a member of the town guard.
Yes.
They have all been replaced.
I wasn't going to suggest killing him, but it wasn't a bad idea.
Replaced meaning they replaced whatever the previous town guard was with Akhenoshans loyal to the Empire.
Yeah, supposedly. We get what replaced means.
No, we don't.
Not like last night he was replaced, I mean. So, okay.
I mean,
so,
I would have replaced him for you.
I should warn you, I did have somebody tailing the Larson ambassador beforehand.
Bolivo?
It was Bolivo. You know him.
Yeah, we know him.
Yeah, he's a good...
How do you feel about Bolivo?
Well, he's loyal, gets results. Bit confusing, seems like an idiot, but...
We've worked with him before in the past, to everyone's benefit.
Other than the people who died.
That's just life, right?
Around us, mostly, yes.
It's like, then I feel like you should probably know something.
I mean, these, like, boatload of skimmers that we're gonna burn.
Yeah, we're probably gonna burn down that whole thing.
That would be an international incident.
Yeah.
But not tied to you.
It's a risk.
I'm sorry, we're not agents or confederates or information officers. We're a grenade you throw at a thing. Like, I really cannot stress this enough.
Right. Okay, so she says, when you mention Bolivo and that you've had previous dealings with him, she says, then I feel like perhaps you should know something. 2 days ago, Bolivo went missing.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
To be continued.
Ooh,
all right.
Thank you all for listening. If you enjoyed this program, please consider checking out our Patreon at patreon.com/RPGFS or our sister podcast, RPG From Scratch, where we design the game that you hear us play. Patrons of our podcast get many benefits, including all the content that we cut out of our design episodes and leyliners before we go live. Patrons also get character sheets to make their own characters and the rulebooks for this game as we release them. Patrons at the $10 tier get to create the awesome custom NPCs that our characters interact with. If you want to jump in chat and make suggestions while we're live, you can check us out on twitch.tv/RPGFromScratch. We stream every other Friday. For news and updates, check us out on Twitter. We are @HomebrewHombres. On Facebook, we are facebook.com/RPGFS. And on Instagram, we are RPG from Scratch. And that's all one word. Thank you again for listening. And until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.